Tony's good enough to join us again this week. We didn't get to talk to him last week. And, Tony, I know you went through something there. I was going to ask you whether or not we could even ask you about it, but then you were tweeting about it, so I figured that there was no reason to be coy why you didn't join us last week. There was a fire at your son's house. How is he? How is everyone doing? How is everything?
Well, he and his wife, Erica, and thanks, Damon, he and his wife, Erica, are fine, and they're really amazing. You know, everybody says this about their kids, but my son Chris, my middle son, who's Chris, and his wife, they rescue dogs as a sidebar. They have a business, and they had a fire in their home last week, and it destroyed the home, and 14 of the animals got out.
Oh.
Two of them died, including my son's own personal pet that he's had for 14 years, a great little long-haired dachshund. But luckily, they all got out. No one was injured, and the two dogs died of smoke inhalation. And now they're in the process of just trying to put pieces together, and, you know, the Christmas tree, all the Christmas presents. So there's never a good time to, you know, to lose everything. But certainly in this time of year, as we saw in Oakland with that horrific warehouse fire not too long ago, the devastation that a fire does and how it just basically changes everything you do. And with the cold weather setting in, it's just been a rough week for them. But they're hanging in there, and I had a chance to go down there and help out for a couple of days, but it's been rough.
Oh, it has to be, man. My thoughts are with you and the family. I'm so sorry that anyone's going through that. That's terrible. That's terrible. Is there anything we can do? I mean, can we send him some cookies or brownies? Gianna, she's already thinking, like, tamales solve all problems.
You let us know. That package will be in the mail tomorrow.
All right, thank you. Well, I don't know. They're good. I mean, obviously, my older son set up a GoFundMe page, and obviously they have insurance, and they will eventually get some money to hopefully rebuild their home. But you know how it works with insurance. They're only going to give them replacement value, and so
right.
They'll never be able to get what they lost. And luckily, as I mentioned, they lost just personal possessions and two of their animals. But, you know, to take care of the animals, Miss Robin's actually doing a great job putting a little video together of all the animals and how they right now, you know, have no place to live, and other than an old cabin where my son's been working on that. So that we went down there and built a fence so that the dogs can go outside. And these animals are senior dogs that a lot of people don't want around. So I think a lot of people were reacting not just to the fact that my son lost his home.
Sure.
That they're okay, but the 14 dogs, you know, now pretty much don't have a place to live full time. They're inside his house, the little cabin that they're living in right now because their home is destroyed. And unfortunately, living with 14 dogs is pretty tough to do for anybody, especially in a small little cabin. So we got them some heat, and we went down there and helped build the fence so the dogs could go outside. But that's pretty much it. It's, you know, it's thinking about all those poor animals and how tough it is for them, too, with no homes and for them to be taken care of.
Oh, well, I mean it, man. It's just my heart goes out to you. Do me a favor. Go online on Twitter. Share the GoFundMe page. We'll retweet it. And help buy some kibble for your son. Seriously, the dog angle could actually end up working out for him nicely here, Tony. I gotta be just an awful person and bring that up. It could be the thing that helps. We out here, obviously, getting ready for the holidays, and Raiders fans got a little present under the tree, Tony. Early, they're back in the playoffs for the first time since 2002. It's happened, Tony.
It's happened, and we knew it was going to happen, not at the beginning of the year. I mean, they're optimists, and Raider fans and the Raider Nation every year thinks it's going to happen. And so, but we saw things developing last year, and then we saw the start this year where there were some question marks and up and downs and the defense this and the offense that and the shotgun formation and Derek Carr, and was he an MVP candidate? And then he goes on national TV, and people were mocking him all over the country. He's no MVP. You know, all that stuff doesn't really matter right now. If you're the Raiders and you're a Raider fan, you know, you got to remember 2002. I remember 2002 being in Jack London Square when the Raiders last made the playoffs and out there with the fans having fun. But that's a long time ago. What's that, 15 years, 14 years ago? So that's a long time when you're a great franchise to not make the playoffs. And so Raider fans have been waiting a long time, and the organization certainly has hit a lot of reset buttons, but they're finally putting something together.
Yeah, good for them. It's these fans deserve so much. There may not be a fan base that has been more mentally screwed with than Raiders fans over the last 20 years. And, you know, it figures that while they're having their rebirth right now, there's still the specter of moving hanging over things. But enjoy the football while you can. It's special to be in the playoffs once again. As you know, Tony, it's always about the money. The NFL has officially done it again. They're going to be selling tickets to something that's really not worth watching or certainly buying a ticket to. Tony, first it was media day. Now the NFL is about to sell the combine. How much would you pay to watch someone run a 40?
Well, I think a lot of college kids who are skipping their bowl games.
Yeah, really.
Are they going to show up for the combine? Is Leonard Fournette and Mr. McCaffrey out there? Are they going to show up for the combine? Or is that risky too?
What if somebody slips in the shower or something? I mean, my goodness. I would cease bathing if I were a draft pick.
Listen, I don't blame you. Listen, I pretty much have stopped watching bowl games, too. I mean, I tried to watch some of that Miami Beach Bowl yesterday. There were more people on South Beach walking around wandering aimlessly for cocktails than there were in that stadium watching that game. And, again, I'm not knocking the kids, but there's too many bowl games. And you know what? If you're a star player, you know, but I don't think it's fair to the other Stanford kids who are going to the Sun Bowl. You know, it's just, to me, I get it. You're going to be a pro. We know you're going to be a pro. But I don't know where it's fair for the fans who buy these tickets to go to these games and book trip tickets and airplanes and hotel rooms. And it pretty much sends the message, which I've been saying for a while, that most of these bowl games are just window dressing. You know, I know some kids like to play in them in schools that rarely go to bowls. It's, you know, it's a fun thing. Like Temple went to a bowl last year, you know, and they hadn't been to a bowl in forever. But for the most part, if you're a big-time program like Stanford and LSU and these schools, you know, why would you want to go to a what I call meaningless bowl game in the holiday season? For who? For what, as Ricky Waters once said.
Right.
When he didn't go over the middle and alligator arm a pass.
Yeah, forget it. But I only need the ball 35 times to be effective, coach. That's it. I loved Ricky. Anyway, yeah, you know, look, to me, I understand it. I understand the business decision that now hangs over first-round choices. I get it. I really do. But there's a part of me that doesn't have to like it. And everything that a football team is told is you sacrifice the self for the good of the whole. What happens when Alabama's got five first-round projected offensive linemen and they all skip the upcoming draft or the upcoming bowl game, and now your quarterback's in trouble all afternoon. Now your running backs have nobody to block for them. I mean, you know, will there be a point where kids are backing away from national championship games? That's my question.
That's a good question, too. I mean, if Stanford were playing for the national championship or in the college playoffs, would the players feel the same way, or is it different? Yeah, I mean, the injury risk is an injury risk. Whether you're playing in the Sun Bowl or the BCS, well, the BCS is long gone, but even that was a joke. But if you're playing in one of these two playoff games on New Year's Eve, aren't you risking something too? There's a lot of first-round draft picks who are going to be playing in the games to try to play for the national championship. So when does it become important to play in this game? Is it because the game's meaningless? Or does it depend on the level of the importance of the game?
Right. I mean,
that's what I don't get. I don't understand, because there's a lot of bowl games that, trust me, you look at the stands, you watch these games, they're just filler programming during the holiday season. And I don't blame a lot of these kids who don't want to play, but when is it fair? When is it fair to the fans, and when is it fair to the teammates who also have to go out there and play in these meaningless games?
Right. Let's say a kid starts his junior year, and a month into the season, Mel Kiper puts out his first big board, and he finds himself in the top five, and he's like, well, I've done my job. I'm just going to quit on the rest of the season. I'm a top five draft pick. I'm done. I mean, I wonder if that's where this goes at some point. I really do. We got to change gears, though, Tony, because I know you like talking about significant sums of money. DeMarcus Cousin has been fined a significant amount of money by the Sacramento Kings for verbally abusing a Sac B reporter, who, by the way, looks like Andy Capp from the Andy Capp fries bag. He's got the little pork pie hat and whatnot. This tiny little guy, and he's got DeMarcus Cousins leaning over him like the Jolly Green Giant, putting a finger that's half the size of the guy in the guy's chest, saying, you know, don't you ever include my brother in the report. The brother was included in the report because the report was about an off-the-court arrest, which the brother was involved in, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, this is a long setup to just ask you, what do you think a significant fine levied by the Kings to DeMarcus Cousins actually is. What do you think the dollar amount is?
Well, I saw they fined him $50,000.
Was it
$50,000? And I know he issued a statement and he said that, you know, I made the wrong decision at the wrong time. There's a time and a place to say everything. But obviously he was, not very happy, but he doesn't seem like he's angry at the Kings for doing what he thinks that they obviously have a right to do.
Well,
$50,000, is that a lot, do you think? I mean, $50,000 is a lot of money to me, and I'm sure you as well, but what's the reaction been by fans?
No, well, I hadn't heard $50,000. I just seen the significant amount of money. If it is $50,000, I'm going to tell you that $50,000 is not a significant amount of money to a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, for goodness sakes. That is an insignificant amount of money to a guy. That is a quarter's worth of work for DeMarcus Cousins, I'm guessing, during game time. $50,000? I mean, that's nothing to him. That's hardly a deterrent. That's hardly going to change his actions.
Yeah, but when was the last time you saw athletes get fined for different things, but when was the last time you saw a team actually fine a player that sum of money for having a verbal altercation with a sports writer or anybody in the media, or even a teammate? I mean, you
right.
know, it happens all the time, but you don't really hear the numbers. But I don't know if that's a lot. You're right, it's not a lot to him, but certainly to the average fan out there, they're saying, wow, you know what? Some of the reaction will be, well, you know, these media people, they need to be spoken down to every once in a while, put in their place, too.
By the way, there's an article right here on the Sporting News says right now that DeMarcus Cousins releases an apology to everyone except the Sacramento Bee. So there's that. I'll tell you what they should do with the fine. They should give it to that poor sports writer who probably doesn't pull down $50,000 a year anyways. That's who should get that fine, the poor guy that he was yelling at. Tony, thank you so much. Good to talk to you. Thoughts with your son and his family and all of their pets as they go through this. And thoughts certainly with you and the beautiful, the lovely Miss Robin as well. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays from all of us to you.
Well, thank you, Damon. And Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you, Gianna, the whole gang there at 95.7 The Game, and, of course, everybody in the Bay Area. And have a safe, happy, and healthy one. And we'll see you next week.
You got it. The one and only Tony Bruno here on 95.7 The Game.